Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Isaiah chapter 32. Let's take it in. Behold, a king will reign righteously, and princes will rule justly. Each will be like a refuge from the wind and a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry country, like the shade of a huge rock in a weary land. Then the eyes of those who see will not be blinded, and the ears of those who hear will pay attention. And the heart of the hasty will discern knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers will hasten to speak clearly. Now, isn't that interesting? And this very much appears to be what we would understand now as when Jesus comes again to set up his millennial reign. Now, that may not exactly have been the way that Isaiah understood it. Remember that the Jews, who at this time are about to be invaded by Assyria, but God's going to prevent that from happening, and later they're going to be deported by Judah. And they knew, and Isaiah knew, that it was a result of their unfaithfulness. But they anticipated a time where they would have a king from the family line of David who would come back and restore their land and restore their blessing. And the prophets, most of them spoke in such a way, both about a warning of judgment, but also the wonderful promise of restoration. But what they didn't see is they didn't see that Jesus would come and not restore that kingdom immediately to Israel, but rather that he would die on a cross, that he would usher in a spiritual kingdom, that he would welcome Gentiles to the faith and begin a new family with those who believe in him. And it can be Israel, it can be Jews who believe in Jesus as well, but also any others who will believe in Jesus, and that they will become a church and a spiritual kingdom while they still wait for the king to come again and then restore the land to Israel and to be that messianic king. So the Jews were looking for a ruler to come and help them overthrow their enemies and put them back on top again. But the church age, it was considered a mystery, meaning the Old Testament people didn't see it, but it was revealed in the New Testament. And we see that in this chapter today. I think it'll be interesting as we go through, but I want you to recall that even Jesus' disciples were confused about this. In the book of Acts, at the very end of Jesus's pre-ascended form, meaning he died on the cross, he came back and showed himself for 40 days, and right when he is about to ascend into heaven after 40 days after his death, and then establish the church on Pentecost 50 days after his death and resurrection, then when he appeared to them, about when he's about to ascend, so when they had come together, they were asking him, this is Acts 1 verse 6, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to come back and are you going to rule and restore Israel? Now, remember, they're under the Roman Empire and they don't have a country and they don't even have their own leadership, besides, ministering at the temple. But he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. He's saying, you know what? I'm not going to establish that right now. What I want you to do, though, is I want you to be my people. And the Holy Spirit's going to come into you. And until I come again, I want you to be my witnesses throughout the world. That's what we're supposed to be doing in this spiritual kingdom that Jesus has inaugurated as we await for the fullness of his kingdom to come again. So Isaiah here is speaking about when that king comes and reigns. And yet they are about to suffer judgment for their unfaithfulness. So I'll have a little bit more to say about this historical aspect in a moment, but let's continue in the passage of Isaiah chapter 32. No longer will the wicked fool be called noble, or the rogue be spoken of as generous, for a wicked fool speaks wicked folly, and his heart does wickedness, to do ungodliness, and to speak error against Yahweh, in order to make the hungry person empty. He even causes the thirsty to lack a drink. As for a rogue, his weapons are evil. He counsels wicked schemes to wreak destruction on the afflicted with lying words. Even though the needy one speaks justly, but the noble man counsels noble plans, and by the noble plans he rises up. So there's a lot of wickedness in Isaiah's day that he's speaking of. And then he turns his attention to the women of Jerusalem, and he says, "Rise up, you women who are at ease, and hear my voice. Give ear to my word, you complacent daughters." And now he's speaking of the current judgment that's about to happen. He says, "You complacent daughters, within a year and a few days, you will quake, complacent daughters, for the grape harvest is ended, and the fruit gathering will not come. Tremble, you women who are at ease." And he's now speaking again of that judgment that's coming soon to the people. Even though they're going to get spared for a little while, the Assyrian judgment in Judah, there's going to be future judgment coming because of all their unfaithfulness. Tremble, you women who are at ease. Quake, you complacent daughters. Strip, undress, and put sackcloth on your waist as a sign of like repentance. Beat your breasts for the desirable fields, for the fruitful vine, for the land of my people in which thorns and briars shall come up, indeed, against all the joyful houses in the exalted city. And this could be the fact that when they get deported to Babylon, things are just going to get overgrown. I mean, the city's going to be destroyed because the palace has been abandoned, the populated city forsaken, hill and watchtower have become caves forever. A joy for wild donkeys, a pasture for flocks. Now, this is interesting. So this is all the bad that's happening. Until when? Listen to what he says here in verse 15. Until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful orchard. So now he's speaking of the Spirit coming and he's speaking of restoration. And the fruitful orchard is counted as a forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will live in the fruitful orchard. And the work of righteousness, well, who's the one who brought righteousness? Jesus, right, will be peace. And he gave us peace with God. That's talked about in Romans 5. Maybe I'll turn there. And the service of righteousness, quietness, and security forever. Now, security forever sounds like when the Messiah is here reigning again. Then my people will live in a peaceful abode and in secure dwellings and in undisturbed resting places. Again, this sounds like the millennium because it doesn't sound like what happened when Jesus came. They weren't undisturbed. In fact, there continued to be heavy persecution after the days of Jesus. And it will hail when the forest comes down, and the city will be utterly laid low. Well, it's speaking of destruction. How blessed will you be, you who sow beside all waters, who let out freely the ox and the donkey. And again, that's speaking of future blessing. Now, what's interesting is, until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high. So he's speaking of the Spirit coming, and that makes you think of Jesus, right? Because he brought the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them at Pentecost. Well, I want to take you to Jeremiah 31. Now, this would be in the future when Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon is about to come over and take over Judah. And listen to what he says in Jeremiah 31, verse 27. Behold, days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Remember, he's speaking really of Israel with the seed of a man and with the seed of a beast. And it will be as I have watched over them to uproot, to tear down, to pull down, to destroy, and to bring calamity. So I'll watch over them to build and to plant, declares Yahweh. So he's talking about after the destruction, blessing. In those days, they will not say again, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone will die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats sour grapes, his teeth will set on edge. Now let's keep going. Behold, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will cut a new covenant. Jeremiah 31:31, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, when Jesus was on the earth and he celebrated the Last Supper, the last night of his life, he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant." So there was a measure of that covenant which began because with that, the spirit that was promised was coming, and it came 50 days later on Pentecost. I will cut a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I cut with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke. He's talking about the Mosaic covenant which they broke. They did not, they were under the curse of the law because they weren't faithful to that covenant. But I was a husband to them, declares Yahweh. But this is the covenant which I will cut with the house of Israel after those days, declares Yahweh. I will put my law within them and on their heart, and I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares Yahweh, for I will give their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Because Jesus does speak of this new covenant, and the Bible speaks of Jesus inaugurating this new covenant, but not the fullness of it. We got a portion of that covenant, and the fact that the church has been welcomed into the family of God through faith in Jesus, and those who believe have been given the Spirit. But listen to what this is saying. But this is the covenant I will cut with the house of Israel. So there's still a fullness of this new covenant that is going to be extended when Jesus Christ comes back and Israel begins to acknowledge who Jesus is. And then it says, I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, for they all know me. Well, how is everyone going to know him? And does all of Israel know him now? No, they don't at all. They've rejected him, except some of Israel have become faithful in Jesus and believed in Jesus, but many have not. But this is saying they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest. Well, when Jesus Christ comes back in the millennial kingdom and he's resident on the earth, then everyone's going to know him from the least of me to the greatest. So there's aspects of a new covenant that is still we're still waiting for. We have the inauguration of that covenant, and we have the deposit of that covenant, the deposit of the Holy Spirit. But God is still coming again to bring in the fullness of that new covenant when Jesus Christ comes back at the millennium, and that's when Israel is going to embrace the fullness of that covenant and who Jesus is. And it's really what they were looking for, because they were looking for a king to come and rule and reign. Now, right now, they need to acknowledge him. The Jews need to understand this, that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, and he came so that people would know who he is. But yet many have rejected, but one day they will see it. So there it is. Isn't it interesting? It's really interesting to pull together Old and New Testaments and just to see what the Old Testament prophets knew, and they were right. Jesus is coming again. The Spirit's coming as well. They just did not have a fullness of understanding of the church age, and that they were going to have to wait upon this church age and for God to welcome us in until one day Jesus comes back and restores Israel. And for those who are listening to commentators like Tucker Carlson, or who's that? Candace Owens, and so many others that are so anti-Israel, I want to tell you, they got it wrong. They got it wrong. Yes, Israel's rejected Jesus right now, and as a result, they're under a penalty. But God has not given up on that land. God has not given up on that country. And one day he's going to restore the land to Israel, and those who are left of Israel at the end of the tribulation are going to embrace Jesus because he's going to be right there. God still has a plan to do that. And people just, they're speaking what they don't know. There's people that just don't know the Bible well enough, and they're speaking about Israel out of ignorance because they just don't know better. And unfortunately, we have, what a blessing we have podcasts today, right? And that we can learn. But there's error and deception, and there's wrong teaching as well. And it's very important you understand that God still has a plan to redeem Israel and to redeem their land, and he's going to do it when Jesus Christ comes back. And he has not given up on his people. He's still going to bring about the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant to bless Israel and to bless their land. But he's going to have to do it through the Messiah, through the recognition of Jesus when he comes back. So please understand what the Bible says, and be very careful to to take advice from people who just don't understand the Bible well enough. Thank you for listening, and God bless you all.